I would like to devote my remarks to the following question. Why Gemara? Why are we so obsessed with Gemara? There are many other forms of Talmud Torah, of Torah study. Why is there such an emphasis in our tradition with the study of Gemara? A friend of mine shared with me a recent article published by the Canadian Jewish News on the value of Talmud education by Benjamin Biles. And he writes, "Studying Talmud taught me how to be patient with a text. Some of the concepts we studied at university required students to review the original source material multiple times. This was understandably frustrating and tested the resolution of many of them. I found that I was able to persevere because I knew that fully comprehending multifaceted text requires careful and sometimes excruciating unhurried scrutiny." But obviously there's more to it than that. I would like to share with you Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's approach to this question, which he addressed in an article entitled, "Why Learn Gemara?" And I'll try to do my best to summarize to you the main aspects of his argument, and then utilize a passage from Alei Shur written by Rav Volbi to deal with one of the issues that he raises in his essay. So now, for the observant Jew, the question, why learn Gemara, really contains two questions. Number one, why learn Halacha? And number two, let's assume that we conclude that it's critical to learn Halacha. Why learn Gemara specifically? Why not Mishnah or Rambam or Shulchan Aruch or Mishnah Brura? Why the emphasis on Gemara? Now, the first question is, why learn Halacha? Why is the focus of our religion Halacha, Jewish law, as opposed to theology, philosophy, or liturgy? I would argue that if the goal of religion is to inspire and build passion, I don't know if the study of dry Halacha is the way to go. I might have chosen other avenues of Jewish study. In fact, in other societies, who studies law? It's the legal scholar, not the average person. The average person wants to be inspired. So Halacha doesn't seem to be the first choice. And yet, the emphasis of Halacha on Jewish law tells us that we are first and foremost commanded beings. Yes, we view God as our loving parent, but the focus is that He is our King, we are His servant. And I'm not saying this in a negative sense. I'm saying this in a positive sense. We are servants and we are charged with a mission and we are directed by rules. This is how we should view our lives. Every aspect of our lives should be governed by Halacha, and the values that we hold dear should emanate primarily from the study of Halacha. This is how we live a transcendent life. When Rashi, in the very first pasuk in the Torah, suggests that possibly we should start the Torah from the very first mitzvah in the Torah, in Parshas Bo, and not include Sefer Bereishis, he is suggesting that the goal of Torah is Halacha, and the rest of the material is ancillary. And yes, at the end of the day, we do include stories in the Torah, but that is simply to supplement the main aspect of Jewish study, which is Halacha, which is the study of mitzvos. And the study of Halacha connects us with prior generations, with our Mesorah. There is a powerful emotional feeling when we study the same Torah that was based on the original revelation at Sinai. We feel a tremendous sense of connection, a 3,000-year connection, and this connection can be very powerful and very spiritually uplifting. And this argument by Rav Lichtenstein reminds us all of that famous description that Rabbi Soloveitchik once gave about delivering a shiur to his students. As he writes, "I start shiur. I don't know what the conclusion will be. Whenever I start the shiur, the door opens, another old man walks in and sits down. He is older than I am. He is the grandfather of the Rav. His name is Rav Chaim Brisker, without whom you cannot learn nowadays. The door opens quietly again and another old man walks in. He is older than Rav Chaim. He lived in the 17th century. What's his name? Shabsai Cohen. In this way, the teacher imparts to him the living experience in Judaism, Jewish practice, the famous Shach, who must be present when Dinei Mamonos are discussed. More visitors show up, some from the 11th, 12th, 13th century, some from antiquity. Rabbi Akiva, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ravid, the Rashba, more and more come in. What do? I introduce them to my students and the dialogue commences. The Rambam says something and the Ravid disagrees. Sometimes it's very nasty. The Ravid uses very sharp language. A boy jumps up to defend the Rambam against the Ravid, and the boy is fresh. You know how young boys are. He uses improper language, so I correct him. Another boy jumps up with a new idea. The Rashba smiles gently. I try to analyze what the young boy meant. Another boy intervenes. We call upon Rabbeinu Tam to express his opinion, and suddenly a symposium of generations comes into existence. Generations, young boys, 22 or 23, and my generation, the generation of Chaim Brisker, of the Shach, of Rabbeinu Tam, of Haigon, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We all speak one language. We all chat. We all laugh. We all enjoy the company. We all pursue one goal. We are all committed to a common vision, and we all operate with the same categories. There is misora collegiality, friendship, comedy between old and young, between antiquity and middle ages and modern times. Now, Rav Lichtenstein admits that it's not easy to feel this way when we open a page of Gemara, because this requires faith in God and His Torah, that this represents truth and we desire to find this truth. And it also requires faith in ourselves, that we are ready and open to let the power of Halacha instill both knowledge and love. And Rav Lichtenstein concedes that much of the antipathy towards learning Halacha and Gemara stems from either a lack of faith in God and His Torah, or a lack of faith in ourselves that Halacha can inspire us. And we're going to try to get back to that point a little bit later when we discuss a passage from Rav Volbi. In any case, this is the value of the study of Halacha, living life as a man or woman with a mission, as a commanded being, and feeling connected with so many generations of scholars dating back to Sinai. But why specifically Gemara? Why not Mishnah or Rambam or Shulchan Aruch or Mishnah Berurah? In fact, the Gemara is very difficult. It is so difficult that much of the literature of the Gaonim and the early Rishonim was designed to help make the Gemara more understandable. So why then do we study it? Why is this the preferred text? So first, if you want to study anything well, you need to study the raw material, the primary text. This is true for all disciplines and should also be true for Halacha. And the primary text is the Gemara. The Mishnah is facts. The Mishnah is statements, but the underlying reason and rationale and debate and discussion, this is all found in the Gemara. Secondly, when we study the Gemara, we are not merely studying law. We are studying personalities. We are encountering personalities. We are experiencing their day-to-day lives. It's not just a rule book, but it's a book of stories. It's a book that can connect us to Chazal, to the personalities of our Mesorah more than any other book. Third, Gemara study has the greatest potential for our creativity, for our analysis, and for our engagement. It is true that in Birchos HaTorah, the phrase of Asher Nasa Lanu Toras Emes, that God gave us the Torah of truth, so according to the Torah, this refers to Torah Shebichsav, and V'chayi Olam Nata B'Sochenu, the tree of life God planted inside of us, refers to Torah Shebal Peh. But Rav Lichtenstein argues that even within the world of Torah Shebal Peh, there is a difference between Mishnah and Gemara. Mishnayos are fixed texts with no reasoning for the most part. But Gemara is all about the reasoning and is where the Torah Shebal Peh comes to life. As Rav Lichtenstein wrote, Mishnah is the given Torah's Emes of the oral tradition, and Gemara is implanted Chayi Olam. Vibrancy and excitement for Torah comes through rigorous analysis of Gemara. And our goal is not to be passive recipients of Torah. Our goal is to bring it to life, v'chayei olam, to be engaged in a very active way in this process. In fact, I think that this perspective dovetails very well with the famous story of the Tanur Shel Achnai, the Oven of Achnai, when there was a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamin, and Rabbi Eliezer was a minority view, and he performed all sorts of miracles in an effort to convince the rabbis that his position was halachically correct. And in fact, when a voice descended from heaven, a baskol, proclaimed that halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer against the majority of the sages, yet Rabbi Yehoshua said, Ein mashkich b'baskol. We don't listen. We don't paskin to a baskol. Why? Because Torah is lo b'shamayim. Torah is not in heaven. And even if a Navi hears from God exactly what the halacha is, we ignore him. Why? Chacham adaf mi Navi. A sage is preferable to a Navi. We follow the majority of Chazal, of the sages. And in effect, what we are doing is that we are saying that basically better that the rabbis on earth debate this issue rather than get a clear answer from Shemayim. Because when it comes to halachic analysis, engagement in the process, the vibrancy of Limud Torah far surpasses the value of 100% accuracy. Even if you hear a baskel, even if you hear from a Navi that he heard from God, as it were, what the answer is, engagement is critical, and that's what you get when you study Gemara. Typically also, Gemara is studied through partners, through a chavrusa, which contributes to the vibrancy, excitement, and engagement in Talmud Torah. This, in brief, is the value of halacha and the value of Gemara. But as I mentioned, Rav Lichtenstein wrote that when it comes to Torah study, the study of halacha, it's not always so easy to feel the passion, the commitment, because it requires a faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah, and it requires a faith in ourselves. It requires a certain desire, a passion, which is not always there. So how should we approach learning if we don't feel the passion and the commitment? And I believe Rav Shlomo Volbi and Ali Shur discusses this when he writes an article about the study of Gemara. And he writes, in a letter, the following. He first cites a Medrash Tehillim on the Pasuk in Tehillim, from the, Parakuf Yotes, I believe. The Pasuk says, Lule Sorascha Shashuai Oz Avadati Banyi. Were not your teaching my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. In the next Pasuk, Laolam Loeshkach Pikudecha Kivam Chiyusani. I will not forget your teachings because in them I have life. And the Medrash Tehillim on this pasuk says the following: Lo'olam lo eshkach pikudecha heim chaim l'Yisrael. The Torah is life for Klal Yisrael. Ilulehi, without it, lo haya chayim, there would not be life. He writes that we should learn Torah not out of a cheshek to learn, not out of a desire to learn, but based on hechreach haTorah, the necessity of Torah, the belief that life without Torah is not real life. See, when it comes to other disciplines, what motivates someone to study is based on desire or ability. If, let's say, I'm good at science, I have ability at science, or I'm interested in science, then I'll study science. And if not, then I won't. However, when it comes to Torah, it's not based on skills or abilities or desires, but it's based on the belief of the necessity of Torah in our lives. The desire will come, but initially our motivation should not be based on desire to learn, but out of necessity. And the reason is obvious. If we study only out of necessity, then if we are not in the mood, we will force ourselves to continue to study out of the belief that without Torah, life isn't real life, and the desire will eventually come. In fact, in Parshas Yisro we read, Vata im shamoa tishmu bekoli. God says, and now if you listen to my voice, ushmartim es brisi, and you observe my covenant. And Rashi on this pasuk picks up on the word Vata. And Rashi says, imata tekablu aleichem, if now you accept this upon yourself, yerav lachem mikan ve'elach, it will be sweet for you in the future. Shekol haschalos kashos, because all beginnings are difficult. It's very difficult to transition ourselves from the physical world to the world of Torah, to completely become invested in the centrality of Torah governing our lives and truly feeling the necessity of studying Torah on a regular basis, seeing the world through the eyes of Chazal without an agenda, just trying to experience Devar Hashem. But the results are tremendous. We see the world in a totally different way. And for some of us, it might be difficult to appreciate that. For some of us, it may be difficult to appreciate this bracha of Rashi, that if now we accept it to learn the Torah on a regular basis and accept the hechreach haTorah, that eventually will become sweet, eventually we'll develop the desire. It may be hard for us to accept that. We can look around. There are so many people around us who just decide at some point, I'm going to learn Daf Yomi every day, I'm going to have a chavrusa once a week, twice a week, I'm going to put time in. And after days and weeks and months and years, you see so many people around you develop this passion of Talmud Torah. And just like they can do it, you can do that too. And my bracha to each and every one of us who tries to push ourselves just a little more is the bracha of Rashi. Vata, imata tekablu aleichem. If we just start to accept upon ourselves the hechreach haTorah, the value of Torah, commit ourselves to learning Gemara on a consistent basis. Yerav lochem mikan v'elach. May it be sweet for us in the future as long as we start and make a commitment and make that commitment consistent.